Greetings. Greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Gabriel. I've come to you to share with you this morning for a moment. Oh, do not be afraid. I'm not in kind of my usual form. I'm in a way that's presentable, more a way that you think of angels, nice and showy and pure. But truth is, if I showed you in my real form, I'd have to say, like I've had to say so many times, do not be afraid. My name means God is my strength. And truly, He is our strength. It's all about Jesus. In fact, all of our angels, you may not know a lot about us, but we're all created. I know many think that we are simply people who've come from this earth into the next one and we become angels, but that's not the reality. Jesus created us all. Oh, you couldn't count us. If you wanted to line us up and try to count us, you couldn't. We use numbers like thousands upon thousands because nobody really knows how many of us there are. But we're used for lots of reasons, and boy, do I have memories of all kinds of situations. I remember being sent to Daniel. Oh, Daniel was interesting. He got himself in all kinds of problems because he stood up for God and he was there with hungry lions, but I came down and shut their mouths. And then later I needed to talk to Daniel, and we talked to him about these dreams and these dreams that God gave them. And it was incredibly important information that God had to share with them, and it was so hard to understand. But the good news is God cares about what goes on here, and when He needs to send us, He sends us. Whether He sends us when there's an emergency and there's somebody to protect, or an announcement to be given. Oh, I remember the time He sent me to the priest. Oh, this priest who had this incredibly rare opportunity to offer this once-in-a-lifetime incense before God. Oh, he is praying, and God heard his prayer, and he sent me down to let him know that this couple, who is well advanced in age, were going to have a child. And that child wasn't going to be just any child. No, we're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about John. You know, he had such a difficult time. His name was Zechariah, and he had such a difficult time putting faith in what I said. So God told me to make him silent until this special young man was born. He would come be known as John the Baptist. And then he sent me around that same Christmas season, the first Christmas, literally a Christmas to remember. He sent me to this young lady named Mary. She was going to have a baby. That's not unusual. But this was going to be Jesus. Oh, I just remember us making it so clear that first Christmas, who Jesus was and why he had come and what it meant. We brought good news. And good news is so important. You know, it's sad, though. So many of us see angels or think they see angels, and they choose to worship them. But God's made it very clear not to worship us. We're just created people or created beings like you are created people. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to seat people higher than the angels. We're servants. Just like you are called to be servants to Almighty God. Well, I'm coming in this form now, but I'm actually just a spirit. I don't really have a body form. And so I'm going to go back now, and I'm going to send your pastor out, and he's going to share with you God's word in just a moment. Thank you. given Scripture and using it. All right, am I okay? All right. That's a loaded question. I'm not sure I'm ever okay. We are introduced to Scripture last week from Hebrews chapter 1. And it tells us, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. See, whether it's prophets, or whether it's angels, or whether it's opening the book and having God speak to us that way, or that still small voice, there's all kinds of ways he can speak. But the message is very clear. It's through Jesus that we understand God. It's through Jesus that we understand salvation. It's what we understand life, and we know our purpose in our being. I know we kind of use that name, we kind of throw it around like it's not that big of a deal, yet I got to say, it's the only name that really matters. Now, we're talking about angels today, right? And we're talking about the fact that God has used them to speak. And there's some things we can learn from the things that they spoke. But the truth of the matter is, most of us will never see angels. Now, I'm not saying that angels don't still speak, because I believe they've even appeared at this church. And I've shared that in the past. Oh, Pastor, you must be crazy. Well, it's like this. Angels, when they spoke at the first Christmas, spoke about a child. And it seems that whenever children are involved, that's when we see angels showing up. And I remember it was a few years back, and it was through our We Care department, that a couple of kids looked behind the screen, and these kids didn't know that the other had looked behind the screen, and these kids were not used to making up stories, and these kids told us the same story about looking behind and seeing an angel. And it was just probably a week or two later, on a Sunday morning, there was a child that came to church that morning. And he looked up and towards the steeple and said, "What is that man doing up there?" And the dad thought he was crazy, of course. Not exactly crazy, but wondered what in the world that was. And it was later that day, after service, that child was going to go home, ran out towards the road and into the road. But the traffic just stopped. You could choose for yourself, but I believe there was an angel that day, and that angel was watching that child, and that angel protected that child's life. There's so many things we don't understand about angels. Right. But one of the things we do know for sure is that they're created beings by God and servants of him to do what's necessary. And there's lots of functions that they do, everything from fighting to bringing messages to bringing discipline. There's so much that they can do. But ultimately, there are many who are there simply to worship God. We're going to see them someday, and we're not going to worship them. We're going to understand just how incredibly God, wonderful God is. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives worshiping him. But today, let's talk about these angels, these spirits made by God. Hebrews 1:14 tells us that they are indeed made by God, but they're often frightening to us. So in these stories that we're going to hear from that first Christmas, you continually hear, "Do not be afraid." First and foremost, First and foremost, God doesn't want us to live our lives in fear. He wants us to live our lives in confidence that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who has everything in His hand, and He is the one that will guide us through and lead us and help us in all the ways that we need. Church, that should light a fire in our hearts. It should light something in us like these candles that burn because we know who Jesus is. And He does not want us to be afraid. Angels speak for God as messengers. They're known. Even the very word for the angels is interpreted as messengers. And they can bring answers to prayer. Luke chapter 1. Let's go to there. We mentioned, the angel mentioned Zechariah's story. We're going to look at that story right now. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 17. It tells us in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of the of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless. In those days, if you were childless, you were believed to be sinful. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, notice these words, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." I'll stop right there. While we may not have an angel that is appearing to us today that you can see saying these words, I believe we should pray with this kind of confidence. God hears our prayers. He's heard your prayers. And God has told me that this is to be a Christmas to remember. And a part of that is God's people praying and recognizing that nothing is impossible with God. And as we give out those prayers, God hears them. And so let that was said to Zechariah, own that for yourself. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. And he goes on. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before he is born. And he'll bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he'll go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah was one of their heroes. He was certainly one whom they were revered very highly. To turn the hearts of their parents to their children and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this angel Gabriel brought indeed good news. We're not to the point yet and the shepherd sharing that in the field. But yet we're to know and we need to know even today that Jesus is good news. He's that which we need. But as the story goes on with Zechariah, we're told that he came also to carry out judgment. Oh, not previously understood that he was going to, but in that moment he knew from God he was going to carry out judgment too. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." That seems like an innocent question to me. It seems like one I might have asked. But yet the lack of faith in that moment, God could see the heart. You see, we as followers of Jesus that want to hear from God need to understand sometimes the lack of faith inside of us needs to simply be acknowledged, and we simply need to repent of that and take God at his word. If he says it and he has commissioned it, there's a reason he's done so. Meanwhile, the people were waiting. Wait. Did I hit this? Oh, I did not. I jumped and didn't finish this. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. I've had a time in which I couldn't speak. I wanted to, but I couldn't. It wasn't nearly as long as Zechariah, but sometimes God chooses to get our attention. And I believe he got Zechariah's attention. And after that amount of time waiting, there was no doubt that when that child was born, that child was going to be named John. That child was going to have a part in preparing the way for the Lord. Because God knows when to silence us, and he knows when to open our mouths. He knows when to move us, and he knows when to tell us to stay. Really, hearing about God is really simply being in touch with him, not necessarily about words. It's really about his spirit connecting with our spirit. But let us continue. Because angels speak for God as messengers. They bring answers to prayer. They bring sometimes judgment, but they often bring good news. But we're not... Great news is this, though. We are not dependent on angels to bring us these things. God does them, and he did them. The good news, Luke chapter 1. We're going to start verses 26 through 38. Again, Gabriel shows up. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee. A virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, notice the words, "Greetings, you are who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her again, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." It's interesting. We as people find something that is really good, something that is designed by God, and something that comes from him, and yet we tend to worship it. Many have this tendency to worship angels, or they have this tendency to worship Mary, right? And yet neither were ever intended to be worshiped. They were simply a tool in the hands of God for his glory. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Wow, that doesn't sound that much different than what Zechariah said. He knew there were impossible circumstances. But God understands our heart. And he knows that he can see every part of what's going on in there. And he needed to talk to her some more. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Oh. response was, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. See, that's what we have in common with the angels. We are just God's servants. If we live this life as though we're entitled to something, we make a big mistake. We just never get out of it what we're intended to. You say, I don't want to be a servant. I've seen what servants do. They don't get treated well. You think God wouldn't treat his servants incredibly well? Oh, sure. Sure. We humble ourselves to follow Jesus. Then the angel left her. But it doesn't end there. The good news doesn't end there, because Luke chapter 2, we're very familiar with this one. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. God sent angels to those people in those days to make it clear that Jesus had come, that Jesus makes a difference. Well, I don't know if we have angels that we can see today, but we do know God is still proclaiming that message through his messengers just as clearly as it was at that first Christmas, that Jesus is not only the Messiah, he's the one that makes life worth living. He is the one that wants to walk with us and talk with us, not necessarily verbally, but definitely through our spirit. He wants to lead us and guide us and help us. He wants to save our souls from the sin that we so easily get entangled with. Jesus is worth hearing about. And I really want to encourage you over these next weeks. Next week, our kids will be sharing in a musical, and they'll be sharing songs about Jesus and other things. Will you reach out and invite someone? Can you do that? As a servant of God? And the following week, we'll be picking up on the 23rd with this series. We'll have a kind of a real big Christmas message. It's a great time to invite people. You say, why? Why now, Pastor? Because I'll tell you this. Statistics tell us, surveys tell us, that people are more likely to accept an invitation to church this time of the year than any other time of the year. So why not invite? Why not reach out and be bold? And know that Jesus Christ has been born for those as well as for us. And then on Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a special Christmas Eve service. We're going to have a few extras in there. And I'm going to share from Charles Schulz, Charlie Brown Christmas. I was thinking I'm going to be talking about Linus a little bit, and so I forgot his name for a minute, Charlie Brown. It's Charlie Brown's Christmas. And we're going to share from the Word, but we're going to look at something that I believe will impact our lives as well. So come on Christmas Eve for that. I think we're going to have some invitations in the days ahead for that, but I want to invite you to be bold this Christmas season. So he brings good news. It was good news to the shepherds, good news to us, good news to all. Sometimes these angels have appeared in dreams. From time to time, some of you come up to me with a dream that you had, and you'll share with me about wondering what it means. I was not given the gift of interpretation. I'm not able to interpret dreams. I can give some thoughts of what God may have been doing and how the scripture may come in line with that. But sometimes dreams are just dreams. Sometimes dreams are just things that come into our minds, and sometimes God speaks through them. And sometimes it's been known, like in this particular situation with Joseph, the other half of the story with Joseph and Mary. Matthew tells us in his gospel about Joe's interaction with angels. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. So the important part of the story is not necessarily that he chose a dream to communicate it, was that he told him what was next. See, in a relationship with God, sometimes we want answers to everything we want, but understand and rest assured, God will guide you. He will lead you to what is next. Sometimes he'll give you a choice in it. But what you can guarantee is that he will lead you. That's why he gave us a spirit to live in us. And so if there's something this morning that you're a little confused on, or something that you need to hear from God, just ask him. But I've asked him, Pastor, keep asking. Just hang out and be patient. Or keep walking, and God will make it clear. The thing has become so clear to me in this series and looking at this first Christmas. God knows how to communicate way better than we do. And just because it may take some time, or we may have to press in, that's often because of stuff going on in us that we need to calm down and we need to push in a little bit until we're ready. But just like he went to Joseph when he needed to go, he made it clear it was time to go. And the good news is he went. And then angels can also protect us. Picking back up with the story of Joseph, chapter 2. And it says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So on one hand, he tells them to go ahead and do what he's needed to do. And the other hand, he tells them to go and be safe. And then he tells them when to return. You know, there's enemies all around us. There's demons. There is a devil. Is that something to be afraid of? No, sir. Not only is there angels, but the most important thing is Jesus. And he's here to not only protect us, but he's to lead us. And we're not to be afraid. He's given us all that we need to be equipped in this life. So I will say this, though. From time to time, you see, man, I feel like I'm under so much attack. I feel like the enemy is really attacking me. What do I do? Here's what you do. It's very simple. You resist. You tell Satan no. You lean into Jesus. You lean into God's word. And you let him speak into your life the truth that you need. Let us pray.